Chapter 7. Forging Ahead. Moving into a little cottage with Alexander made me feel like I was finally getting somewhere. I was now 27 years old, in a serious relationship, and had a place to call home. This little cottage was like a real home, and being in Yorkshire was good for my heart and soul. Life was good. Here we were, both earning good salaries and enjoying rural life. Then one day I found him curled up in the corner of the sitting room sobbing, saying he didn't want to live anymore. I recall him wanting me to speak to his sister so she could explain. He had an imbalance in his thyroid following an accident and chemical poisoning when working in Australia. He needed to be on medication permanently. He was feeling so good he'd taken himself off the medication and his world had imploded. I was in unknown territory. The one thing boarding school had taught me was how to stand on my own two feet. However bad things got, if it was meant to be, it was down to me. I felt that no one else cared or was there when I needed them. I had to carve my own path, and comfort had never been on the agenda. I remember Dad saying he'd graduated from the School of Hard Knocks. I had built a wall around myself on the stones that others had thrown at me. I had absolutely no idea what to do or how to respond in this situation. I could not love Alexander at this moment. I had no idea how. This was a pivotal moment where the darkness snuck in without me knowing or understanding. I was in shock. This was not a space I had ever encountered. I did as I was asked by his sister. I got him to take his medicine and to see a doctor. All the practical things. However, I couldn't hold him while he sobbed. No one had ever held me or comforted me. I didn't have it in me to give. I had passed hurt into this space that I was completely unaware of. Alexander was amazing. He took the pills and bounced back quickly. He was back to life as normal within a few days. And that was the end of it. There were never any repercussions in our 18 years together. It was one of those moments in time when I just got on with it. I realize now that I have always got on with it. I believe that whatever life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Take it for what it is and move on. I remember being unable to connect with him at this time. I felt he had not been open and honest with me. It was almost as if he'd been hiding a dirty secret, which was not the case. I believe that for him, the guilt and shame he may have been carrying got in the way. For me, the hurt and rejection from my past prevented me from being able to support him. So easy now, looking back. We were two young adults, without the right keys, trying to unlock doors that couldn't be opened. It wasn't until much later that I started to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I saw a couple, his parents, whose whole life had been built on image and performance. I understand that his father had lost his parents when he was young, and that his mum had been brought up by a top lawyer who was not to be crossed, a very strict Victorian upbringing. Their whole identity was in what they did and what they looked like and how they performed. Anything that didn't fit the standards was brushed under the carpet and hidden. To this day, I still do not know why his family approved of me. I was far too open, high risk, rough and ready for them. I was never going to conform or fit to their mould. I had an opinion, wore my heart on my sleeve, and said things how I saw them. My roots were firmly in Yorkshire soil, not afraid to stand for what we believe in. Many of my role models, the key people in my life, had warm and generous hearts. They gave and they served. They shared what they had with others in love. They were inside out people. Their lives were far from perfect. Alexander and some of his family were quite the opposite. They were outside in. Everything needed to be in its place. Whatever you do, don't rock the boat. The writing was on the wall, even though I could not see it. I was never going to fit their rules and regulations. I couldn't keep my trap shut for more than about 30 seconds. If I felt something wasn't right, I wanted to discuss it and have it out with the person, understand it, and get it sorted and move on. That was not going to be an option here. However, I didn't see any of this at 27. I had tunnel vision. I was on a mission looking to tick my right man boxes. Number one, find a well brought up man who had been privately educated, like me, to settle down with. Alexander, tick the box. Two, someone who enjoyed the rural lifestyle, like me. Alexander's family owned a farm, and his sister and brother-in-law also farmed. Another box ticked. Three, horses had been a part of his time growing up, like me. His best friend was a polo player. Things were all stacking up well for Alexander and me. Four, I love people, generosity, community, connection, and hospitality was key. Alexander was in the hospitality industry and was outstanding in this space. Five, I was looking for someone who had an appreciation for quality and craftsmanship and a drive to build a life for himself. Ooh, Alexander liked antiques and was great at design work. He was a winner. Six, it was great to have someone pumping in their career, going from strength to strength, as I was. Alexander was all over this too. He was enjoying his cricket, and I was loving the rural lifestyle. He was out and about with his work and found an amazing little cottage, Rosegarth, for us to buy. Things were looking up for us both. We planned a trip to New Zealand for me to meet Alexander's parents and to see where he came from. And I had a blast. I fell in love with the people who were so welcoming and wanted to talk to you. They wrapped your gifts for you in the shops and took time to be present and engage with you. The countryside was stunning and the climate warm and sunny. Alexander's mum had a strict itinerary planned out for the whole 3 weeks, where we were going to be, who we were going to see, etc. I loved every moment. The views from Tomato Peak on our first day were stunning. Visiting Alexander's brother and sister and their families on farms fed my heart and soul. This is the life I wanted to live and the place I wanted to be. Staying in a hotel in Wellington that had been moved from one side of the railway to the other blew my mind. It inspired the creative in me and the sense that all things are possible here. And then we came home. Within 3 weeks, Alexander had asked my dad if he could marry me. On that day, he took me to a beautiful restaurant, pretending we were going to Dad's for dinner. When we turned off the main road to go up the Country Manor Drive, I got super cross as I was not dressed to go out. He told me we were going to Dad and Christine's for dinner, so I had thrown on my comfy jeans and jersey and no makeup or brushing hair and just got in the car. When he turned to go up the driveway to the restaurant, I remember scrambling to find some lipstick and check the state of my hair. I was worrying about what I looked like in a posh restaurant. I allowed this to rob me of the moment. I recall focusing on how unprepared I was, rather than the joy of the commitment Alexander was prepared to make to me. Reflect and reframe. Looking back, I thought with all the external commonalities, our hearts and minds would be on the same page and would be well. I had no idea how much past hurts and trauma would plague us and prevent us from connecting deeply. These things, little by little, although hidden, would in time grow and take us in different directions. I was looking for someone like me. I was looking for someone who wanted the same things. I was looking for connection. It never occurred to me that it was within me all the time. I was looking to fill a hole in my heart. The story or lie that I was believing about myself at the time, that my parents didn't want me, Mum sent us off to boarding school, and Dad was out of the equation. I had to do everything myself. No one was there to help me or have my back. I wasn't good enough. So Alexander was gold, a well-to-do man who wanted to marry me. And here we were, two people with open wounds trying to cover them up, believing that marriage would fix it. I see this over and over again in my office now. where we accuse the other person of not doing whatever it is we expect them to do, that if somehow the other person changed, we would be happy. The keys to your forgiveness belong in your hands, not in someone else's pocket. No one is broken. We are often just out of alignment. The more I learn, the more I understand myself and others' perspectives, the deeper I can connect at a truer and more authentic level. Having this insight would have saved me from so many missing pieces, from mistakes, misunderstandings, and misinterpretations. It would have kept me from feeding the open wounds of my heart and creating a huge divide that I was completely unaware of. L-I-F-E. Life has opened my eyes to the truth. Each one of us is uniquely designed to be brilliant and different. We are meant to work together in unity and one accord, taking our diversity and adding value to the whole. Life is not just about me, having it my way, or having all the right answers. What a wake-up call this has been for me. It has opened so many doors and freed me from the past. So I and all those I work with can be free to live their best lives by design, not by default. Until recently, I didn't understand that none of us sees life through the same lens. Not one of us has the same filtering system. So no matter what we have in common, we are going to come from a different perspective. It's not all about me. It's about being part of something much bigger. Life and time are not linear. I have learned to honour others along the way. I have learned to ask questions that connect rather than shoot accusations that disconnect. Values are key to our core. They are what guide us and keep us on the right track. It is so important to know what we stand for and against, what is important to us and what is not. Lynette Breen kindly took me through this training at this time so I could understand myself more, so that I could stay in my lane and run the race that I was uniquely designed to win. It is from this work with Lynette that she did with me that this chapter's learning comes. We think we know our values, but actually it's not until we come to write them down that they become clear. This is more inside-out stuff. And the values you think are important are sometimes not at the top of your list. The real gold, once you are clear on them, is the increased self-confidence, sense of well-being, and integrity you get that reduces anxiety, worry, and second-guessing. I am truly grateful to this amazing lady and her husband for all the time they have invested in me to help me grow and to become the person I am today. Lynette was pivotal at this time in helping me see the light at the end of the tunnel and opening my eyes and ears, heart and mind, as to what was really going on. Dear reader, have you ever asked yourself what the most important values for you personally are to have in your life? Here are a couple of keys to the treasure within. When we are in alignment with our values, we feel peace, joy, increased self-confidence, while reducing stress, anxiety, and worry. The Pareto principle specifies that 80% of consequences come from 20% of the causes, asserting an unequal relationship between inputs and outputs. I use the Pareto principle to focus my attention on the top 20% of our values, which in this case is my top five, the good ones, which I actively grow, and the bottom five, the ugly ones, which I spray and walk away. As they say in the wet and forget adverts here in New Zealand. Many of us think we know our top five and bottom five values. I encourage you to consider the values that really speak to you, that you love and hold to, and see if you can get them down to five. My top five were mentioned earlier in chapter 4, faith, family, finance, fun, and friends. I encourage you to do the same for the ones you really don't like. My current ones are lying, deceit, conflict, stress, and waste. Call to adventure, the true value in you. An amazing lady, a dear friend, and life coach Lynette Breen gave me love and fear rules, sentence starters to help me grow love values and cut off the fear values. The rules allow us to build new neural pathways in our brains. Neural pathways are rules we have in our heads that lead us to behaving or taking action the way we do. For example, when I cook, the rule or neural pathway that I follow is, time is short, so I need to cook the quickest, healthiest meal possible. I behave accordingly, cooking meat and 3 vegetables, with all the washing up done and the benches cleared, while I am cooking. Everyone is fed and the cleanup is done in super fast time. Others may have the rule to chef and create beautiful, delicious food with love and flavour, where taste and variety are the keys. They will then behave accordingly, using spices and herbs and creating sauces and gadgets to achieve their masterpiece. There may be a cleanup to do at the end that may take a while. However, it was all worth it for the culinary delight that was produced. The result is actually the same at the end of each night. Everyone is fed and watered. The kitchen is clean and tidy for the next day. How we go about it may be different. These rules take 21 days to build, which is often considered a time it takes to make or break a habit. This is how a new neural pathway in the brain is created, continually walking a path for 21 days. Repeating the behavior for another 21 days makes it into a dual carriageway, like a 2-lane highway, and the third cycle of 21 days makes it into a motorway, a 3-lane highway. Thanks to the 700 neurons created in our hippocampus every day that are responsible for memory and learning. The double portion of awareness is when we are creating a new rule and focus on that. Using the thought pattern each day, the neural pathway gets built. Meantime, the glial cells come at night and take away the old, unhelpful thought that you are no longer using. So as you go and focus on the good and helpful rules and ways, the unhelpful naturally dies when you don't give it the airtime in your head. From my perspective, when we apply the love rules to our good values, we end up being on that 3-lane highway more and more. And when we apply the fear rules to our ugly rules, the old values die without us looking at them, thanks to the glial cells, and we get to exchange them for a 3-lane highway we are creating. I love this stuff. So the love rules. I encourage you to create a sentence for each of the good uplifting values, starting with anytime I, every time I, or whenever I, and then make the rule as easy as possible to achieve. For example, if one of my love values was connection, the sentence may go, anytime I think of my husband, I feel connection. Fear rules. And for the ugly rules that can make you almost feel sick, start the sentences with, the only time I, or only when. And then have fun with them. Make them as virtually impossible as you can think of, so that they will be really difficult to achieve. The key to this is that it cannot relate to or go anywhere near your current thought or neural pathway. For example, if rejection was one of your ugly values, the rule might be, only if I choose not to contact any other person for 2 months will I feel rejected. Rejection is often related to other people's responses or lack of response. In this example, it puts the keys to happiness back in the person's hands because they have full control over whether they contact someone or not, and it is not connected to the response. It builds confidence and engages connection, allowing a healthy pathway to grow and the old one to die off without paying attention to it. The new rule will carve a whole new neural pathway, completely disconnecting the old one. The old one will naturally die away as the new rule is embedded. I encourage you to read both sets of these rules for 63 days and see the changes this makes in your life. Many of my clients have been blown away at how this one thing completely obliterates their anxiety and stress levels, helping them to think more clearly and be kinder, more compassionate and connected person. Enjoy. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. Romans 12:2 NIV.